Mary Jane Day.
Blog Talk Radio.
Up this morning, looking for my shoes. Looked behind the trunk, found the hesitation blues. Lordy, tell me how long.
Lordy, tell me how long.
Will I have to wait?
Will I have to wait?
Can I get you now?
Can I get you now?
Must I hesitate? Tell me how long.
Lordy, tell me how long.
Will I have to wait?
Will I have to wait?
Can I get you now?
Can I get you now?
Must I hesitate?
Tonight.
So I thought that was great. All right, let's see here. Next week, thank goodness he was a good sport. You guys were good sports, too. I got sick last week. Couldn't do the show. Minty, comedic arts, Jason Bishop. He was supposed to... Mark Bishop. Oh, he's going to kill me. Sorry, Mark.
Oops.
Mark Bishop was supposed to be our guest last week, and I had to reschedule him because I just couldn't do the show. I was in bed mainly the whole day. And I messaged him, and he said, that's fine. You know, I'm trying to unpack my house anyways, so that'll work out better for me also. So, next week, Minty, Comedic Arts, Mark Bishop will be live, very famous YouTuber. So we're really excited to have him on. Nick, announcements.
Well, I've got a few announcements. Of course, this is spring, so
cool.
This is usually when we put out at Black Bedsheet Books most of our titles. And I've been working really hard on getting the next three titles out that should be coming out very soon, probably all three by next weekend, fingers crossed. Rochelle Dillon's The Stain and Jason Gaylert's Sacrificial Sons, and especially Tom Sawyer's Twilight Zone anthology. So that's a collection. That's going to be really great. And coming up, we've got a lot of great surprises and everything. And as usual, go to blackbedsheetbooks.com for information about all things Black Bedsheet Books. And on Facebook, not only like our page, but join our group. We are getting more and more. We just shot over 1,000 members this past week. So yay for us. And also we've got a group going on Facebook called Horror Nation, which is really fantastic, all things horror. So, folks, go to social media when you can and check us out. That's it for now, Francie.
Okay, hold on. I'm trying to get back to the face. Wow, I let him put the phone right in my face.
Yes.
Okay. That is a phone in your face.
Hello.
Hey, Laura Skelton, she's watching on Facebook. Hey, Tom Sawyer, you're watching on Facebook, and you're listening here on Francie and Friends. Okay, so check it out. Here we go. Jason!
What is going on, Francie?
Not
Hello,
much.
How are you, Jason?
Man, it's
How
been
doing,
such
Jason?
A long time.
It has been a very long time, young lady. It
I
has
know,
been a long time.
I always,
it's crazy.
And
to be
I
back.
Always I always watch you on Facebook, and you're always so busy. Like, you're constantly on the move. When do you breathe?
Breathing, well, I learned to breathe through my ears, which really helps in a lot of situations. But we won't touch that.
Okay.
Yeah, if I don't stay busy, I go crazy. So I just prefer being busy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It keeps
and
you
I
out of
love
trouble.
It, and I love it. Well, you know, I seem to find trouble anyway. And, you know, trouble is kind of fun. I can't lie to you. So, yeah. And always doing that horror thing. Well, actually, lots of horror things at once is normal in my life. So there you go. And lots of new stuff since we last talked. Lots of new stuff.
Well,
cool.
Give us an example.
Now, tell us.
Well, I am now writing for Rue Morgue magazine. Since I moved to Florida, it just got a little difficult because Horror Hound is a very Midwestern-based magazine and such. And so when I got down to Florida, I just started making new connections. And I've connected with Michael Gingold, who was formerly with Fango and is now one of the managers for Rue Morgue. He runs their online presence, and he got me involved with Rue Morgue. And I get to make some announcements here. We are bringing a brand new horror convention to Miami, Florida. Miami, Florida is currently unrepresented in the horror convention world.
What?
So Halloween, yeah, there are no horror conventions in Miami until finally now. Sinister Nights, Halloween weekend, we're going to be at the Hyatt Regency, Miami. And as part of that, also since it's called Sinister Nights, we are also hosting the Sin Film Fest, which is going to be literally a block away from the Hyatt Regency is the Silver Spot Cinema. We got a beautiful screening room in there, and as usual, bringing in amazing independent horror films from around the world. And yeah, so lots going on. Lots going on.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Now I do have a question for you about that. I saw that you also have the Seven Deadly Sins quarantine short film contest.
That's going on right now. The quarantine online short film competition. In fact, the deadline for that is in about 10 days. We've set this for the month of April. And we got a lot of people involved with this. In fact, RoomWorg is involved with this. We have celebrity guest judges that include, okay, you ready? Celebrity guest judges include Kane Hodder, Michael Gingold, Gigi Saul Guerrero, Michael Behrman, Ken Foray, Ellie Church, Graham Humphreys, Adam McDonald, Linnea Quigley, Venezio Natale, Josh Mailerman, Felissa Rose, Gary Sherman, Kevin Tinney, Adam Marcus, and Debbie Rochon. That's our list of celebrity judges for this thing. And if you go to sinisternights.com and you just sort of scroll down, you'll see the quarantine label. You click on that, and it'll take you to all the pertinent information. But basically what we're wanting to do is to get people while we're quarantined, and we're obviously calling out to filmmakers, we're kind of calling out to anybody. You're sitting around the house, you're bored. We've all got phones that have great cameras on them now. So we're asking people to shoot a short film. And there are really very few parameters. It kind of does have to fit within the general horror genre. We take live action, stop animation, CGI, whatever you put together. It must include some kind of reference to our current situation, and it needs to include some kind of a reference to one of the seven deadly sins, and that kind of plays into the fact that this is part of the Sin Film Fest. Can't be any longer than 7 minutes. You just shoot your film, edit it, load it to YouTube or Vimeo, and then you go to the online, this is sinisternights.com. You just scroll down, click quarantine, fill out the form, put the link, and then you're in. You're in the film fest. And right now we've got about 30 submissions right now. And as we're getting closer to the end of the month, they're just pouring in. So we're pretty excited about that. I want to take this kind of crazy time they're all going through right now and just kind of create some art, get some people to get creative. We're asking people to shoot these things in your home as much as possible. Use your mom, your grandma, your little brother, your dog, your goldfish, whatever you got around, and shoot some kind of crazy film. And the more DIY, the better. And we're getting films actually from around the world. It's pretty exciting. Pretty exciting right now.
Excellent.
Nice.
And we're going
to
be...
Not to mention...
I would probably do Sloth.
What's that?
And of course, not to mention, this definitely cures boredom.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, create art, man. Create art. Yeah. And right now is a very inspiring time to create horror specifically, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And once we get all the submissions, the horror panel and those of us who are on the Sin Film Festival Selection Committee, we're going to take a look at all these films. We're going to run it down to about the top 10 or 15-ish films. Then we're going to post those online, and then we're going to do an audience selection award. Then we're going to do a Best Overall Award, and then we're going to do an award for the most clever reference to our current kind of global condition. So there are going to be three winners, and those three winners, we're going to screen them at the Sin Film Festival, and they're also going to play on RoomWorg TV. And I also have to mention that Slasher, the Slasher app, is also one of our partners in this as well. And if you guys don't have the Slasher app, you got to get this on your phone. It's like Instagram for horror fiends. It's fantastic.
Nice.
Oh.
Well, so,
I mean,
yeah,
right
lots
off the
and
bat,
lots going on.
Yeah, right off the bat,
you
already have
me
with Instagram and horror, so I'm game.
Yeah.
Hey, Jason,
and then
where and when is the Sin Festival at?
I'm sorry?
where and when is the Sin Film Festival at?
The Sin Film Festival is also going to be Halloween weekend in conjunction with Sinister Nights. So Sinister Nights is taking place at the Hyatt Regency Miami. And then the Sin Film Fest is taking place at the Silver Spot Cinema, which is literally a block. Well, it's actually, I think it's technically half a block from the Hyatt Regency Miami. So it's just a short walk right down one road. People coming to Sinister Nights can just hop out and walk down, catch some films. And because we're classy dudes, the screening room we have has got a bar in it. So, you actually place the order from your seat, and they bring you your drink to your seat.
Oh, that's
we're
cool.
Classy dudes. Yeah.
That's styling.
That's 100%
catering
right there.
And with Sinister Nights, we're really aiming for something different. I mean, you know, any of your listeners who are really into horror, you know, have probably been to a horror convention or two, or maybe they've been to 10 or 20 or 30 of them. And we've really noticed over the years that a lot of horror conventions are starting to look kind of the same. You know, you've got a great vendor hall with a lot of cool stuff to buy, and you've got some celebrities that some of them you probably want to get your picture with or get an autograph, and that's totally cool. But we kind of noticed that, you know, once you go through the vendor hall and kind of get your autographs that you want to get, there's nothing much else to do. Maybe some panels.
Yeah,
you know,
you
the panels
make
are nice.
Another round.
You make the rounds. Sinister Nights, we're gonna have all that. We're gonna have the great vendor hall. We're gonna have the celebrities, but we're gonna create what we hope to be more of an interactive horror experience. We're hosting. In fact, one of the things we're hosting the Scream Queen Olympics. Hosted by Linnea Quigley.
Oh, nice.
And we're gonna have screen queens, and they do not have to be female. We're in Miami, so we're probably gonna get some pretty attractive gender bending going on here, and I really hope we do. But they're gonna be drag a dead body in a competition, and you have to do the drag the dead body in high heels, so like drag your boyfriend out of the house kind of thing. We have some different obstacles. And then obviously there's got to be the scream, you know, so we are going to have a decimeter to measure how loud the scream is. So we're going to be having the Scream Queen Olympics. We're going to be having our version of, and I can't really use this because of trademark issues, but something that looks a little bit like, remember the old game show $10,000 Pyramid? Remember that show where you have a celebrity with a contestant and they're kind of playing charades a little bit to get them to guess the words? Well, we're going to be doing that as well. But our celebrity contestants are going to be Kane Hodder and Michael Behrman. So people will get to bid on an auction to become one of the contestants, and they'll either be playing with either Michael Behrman or Kane Hodder. And I can't wait to see Kane Hodder trying to pantomime to a contestant to get them to guess words. You know, so it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have some VR helmets where people can, for free, just jump on the VR and have some fun in there. There's going to be a lot going on. And, in fact, since we're on Halloween weekend, and Halloween night is a Saturday night, and there's a few places better to be on a weekend in October than Miami, Florida. It's still beautiful down here. The sun is still shining. It's still warm. So come on down. Halloween weekend and Halloween night, we're going to be throwing the party to be at in Miami. We're throwing an 80s monster prom for Halloween night.
Yeah, I've seen that.
So,
oh, that's classic.
Yeah. So everything from Michael Jackson's Thriller to you know, across the board. I'm hoping to see. I'm not going to quit beating on this until I see it. It's 80s monster prom. I need to see a werewolf with a mullet and a bad tuxedo.
All right. I'm sure we can find somebody.
I hope so. We're gonna be taking bad prom photos. We've already got the balloon arch designed, and we're gonna be taking Polaroids, actual Polaroids. There's still a company out there that makes Polaroid film. So
what?
We're gonna be taking Polaroids.
That's crazy.
Polaroid prom pictures under the balloon arch and 80s music all night. That's Halloween night, Sinister Nights. We're really planning the place to be for horror fans for Halloween weekend. So, fun stuff. You go to sinisternights.com, it's all right there. Everything is right there.
Nice.
And we've got a lot more.
Yeah, I was looking at
more.
The website a lot today.
We've got a lot more celebrities
to
announce.
Stalking you.
You're always stalking me, Francie.
I always stalk you.
Actually, I can feel you.
Yeah.
I feel your eyes.
Now, Francie, if you still have his voodoo doll, be sure to scratch the back of his head for him, too, every once in a while. You got to be nice to the guy.
Thanks. Oh, that feels so good. Yeah. Now, I will say we do have a lot more celebrities to announce, but because of everything that's going on, Kane Hodder, Linnea Quigley, Michael Behrman, those are the people that we kind of signed on before all the craziness fell upon us, you know? So we have several more celebrities to announce. We're in negotiations right now, but a lot of people have a lot more important things kind of in their life right now than negotiating with a horror convention on a contract. So we've got some people on deck, and we're kind of hit pause on that. But here pretty soon we're ramping that back up, so you'll be seeing a lot more names, you know, down the road on that. But, yeah, so we're bringing the horror to Miami, and there's a huge horror community in South Florida, but there's really nothing that unites the horror community in South Florida.
Yeah, I was totally shocked to hear that there was no conventions around in Miami that dealt with horror, because – I mean, it's a big city.
Yeah,
very.
That's one of the reasons why as soon as I saw it on the site, I started jumping for joy. I'm like, oh my god, it's about damn time! Yes, finally.
Well, you know, Miami is the seventh largest metropolitan area in the country, and it plays host to some of the larger, like pop cons and comic cons. So it does really well in those, but there is nothing for horror until now. So we're hoping to unite the horror community. In fact, we're kind of one of our monikers is to build the South Florida horror tribe. So that's kind of our point. But then obviously anybody who wants to come in from across the country and spend a beautiful Halloween weekend in Miami, Florida, please come on down and hang out with us crazy horror folks in South Florida. Yeah.
And you couldn't have Buttercup and King Hodder, Linnea Quigley and Michael Berryman. They're great. I've seen them at shows up here in Michigan, and they're fun. They're great guests for a convention.
They are. The last convention with here in Sacramento, Linnea Quigley was here. She is such a sweetheart.
Fun lady.
Nick ratted me out to her. He was like, she's never seen Night of the Living Dead. And she looked at me. She goes, What? I said, but I know who you are. She's like, what are you talking about? She was like, really? She was trying to make me feel bad, but she was really playful with the whole situation.
Now she's just an amazing person. Just actually, all three of them,
really
Kane Hodder and Michael Behrman and Linnea. We're very happy and proud to be highlighting those as our first three selections, and we got some of the names we're really excited to bring to you next. As soon as we get all the I's dotted and T's crossed and the ink dry on the contracts, we'll be announcing some more names soon. So, a lot coming down the pike. Yeah. And you know my years with Horror Hound are very cherished, and I'm looking forward to bringing all my experience there down here to South to an area of the country that is not represented for horror fans. So,
yes, completely untapped.
Yes.
Well, that's good.
We need to unite that craziness.
Man.
Yeah. And who knows? Maybe someday I'll get a chance to play bodyguard for another horror icon. But yes, the weekend I spent with Jamie Lee Curtis was a fantastic week. In fact, have you seen? Okay, I think it was the 25th anniversary release of Halloween. They had a double disc, and one of the discs was there was a documentary called The Night She Came Home, and it was all about Jamie Lee Curtis doing her one and only horror convention appearance at Horror Hound. And for some reason, the camera is all over me. I'm all over this documentary through this thing.
Oh, wow.
Everybody was emailing me as soon as that came out. Man, you're in this documentary. And it took me like 2 months to get my hands on it. I could finally see it, and for whatever reason, I just my big fat head was right there in front of Jamie Lee a lot of the time. So there you go.
Wow.
Well, hopefully they got your good side.
I remember,
you know,
we did a live show. We did a live show at the convention, and your wife hosted it. She was, like, running everywhere. And she got us into the room. And she's like, oh, there's Jason. Hi, Jason. But the line, what was it? The line was out the room, down the hallway, through the lobby, outside the front of the building, onto the side of the building, just waiting to get her autograph.
Jamie Lee Curtis was a machine. She signed. We kept the vending hall open hours past when it was supposed to close because Jamie Lee was not going to leave while there were still people in line.
Wow.
In fact, all the money she raised was for the Children's Hospital of Los Angeles. She didn't keep any of it herself. And she was hoping to raise $80,000. But at the end of the weekend, and of course we collected the money and we gave her the money, but at the end of the weekend we wrote her a check somewhere in the neighborhood of like $147,000.
Wow.
That weekend. Yeah.
Sweet.
And there were people who flew in from all over the world. There are a lot of very avid Halloween fans and a lot of people who've got posters, you know, signed by John Carpenter and Nick Castle and Dean Cundey and all, you know, on and on and on. PJ Souls. But to get that Jamie Lee Curtis autograph on your Halloween poster, this is the only place to get it, you know. So there were people.
Yeah.
I met a kid from France. I met a couple of kids from Japan, a couple of people from Germany that flew in for the. It was a crazy weekend. It was a lot of fun. And being her bodyguard, kind of there in the room, was an amazing experience. She's an amazing human being, and we only had one quasi incident the whole weekend. So everything went really, really smoothly, but that one incident was kind of crazy. There was a lot of people butcher knives to have signed by Jamie Lee Curtis. You know, a lot of people bring machetes to have Kane Hodder signed, right? And if it's your deal with Michael Myers, you got to have that big kitchen butcher knife, right?
Right.
Well, we realized early on we can't have people walking up in front of Jamie Lee Curtis and just pulling out a big 12-inch butcher knife. We just couldn't have that happen.
Yeah.
So people had to give the butcher knife to the security guy before they get to Jamie Lee, and the knife went from the security guy to Jamie Lee's manager, then Jamie Lee signed it, and then they would hand it to me as the person came down off the 3-foot riser to walk away, and I'd make sure that. So there was no holding of a knife in front of Jamie Lee Curtis. Well, there was this poor kid. He had to be maybe 5'5", probably weighed all of 110 pounds, and he gets up in front of her, and he's standing there he has his poster, and then he just reaches inside his jacket and pulls out this knife.
Oh,
and you know, I go jumping up on stage. I grab his wrist that has the knife in it, grab my other arm around his waist, and we go flying off the riser against a 3-foot riser. And I'm a large, portly man, and I landed on top of this kid. I completely deflated him. It was like landing on a beach ball. But once we got him breathing again, he was fine. But he had just forgotten. He was so starstruck by in front of Jamie Lee Curtis, he forgot about the knife, and he didn't want to have to get in line again.
Oh, wow.
So he just pulled the knife up. She signed the knife, and everything was fine. But that was the only incident we had really all weekend. It was a great weekend. Gosh, that was back in – that was 2012. That was 8 years ago.
Oh, my gosh, we're so
old.
Wow.
Time flies. Time flies.
It does fly.
Time flies.
It feels like it was yesterday. I feel like I was leaving work for my lunch hour, and I worked with a bunch of guys because I worked in a car shop, oil change shop, a lube shop. I said, well, see you later, guys. I'm going to go talk to Jamie Lee Curtis somehow. And they're like, F you, Francie. But, of course, they didn't say F. They actually said the word because, you know, she's a beautiful woman even to this day.
Oh.
She's a beautiful woman. And I remember your wife. Hey,
I'm very classy.
Oh, my gosh, this is so beautiful. Mm. After people were getting their autographs signed, she's like, oh, my gosh, people are walking away with tears in their eyes as they're walking away. This is amazing.
Yeah, she was so sweet, absolutely sweet and absolutely amazing. And you know, that's the one thing about these people. It's amazing that now, obviously, Jamie Lee Curtis, she's your classic screen queen, right? But you meet people like Kane Hodder and like Michael Behrman, people who have played – horrific characters on screen, bloodthirsty. In fact, Kane likes to brag that he's killed more people on screen than probably anybody else, and he's probably right. But when you meet him in person, he is a gentleman. He's an intimidating presence because he's Kane flipping hotter, but such an amazing human being. And it's amazing that you meet these people at these conventions who play these bloodthirsty, terrible people on screen, and you meet them, they're just big balls of sweetheart in real life.
Hey, can I tell you a story that I've seen about Kane Hodder that I seen at a convention that's called Motor City Nightmares up here in Michigan?
Sure.
A little kid was dressed like Jason with a machete, plastic machete and a mask and everything. He was probably, you know, couldn't have been more than 4 years old, if that. He went up and hugged Kane Hodder. It was just a nice scene because Kane lifted him up and he hugged Kane Hodder, you know, and Kane picked him up and held him and they took pictures of him, but he was hugging Kane Hodder like, this is my guy, this is my hero. It was like, it was just a sight. It was really heartwarming. I mean, just to see this big dude that killed all these movies and all these people in these movies, and this little kid was just, you know, and he treated him like, you know, hey, do a little buddy, you know, and that was just,
yeah,
it was something to see. That's the type of guy he is.
Yeah, absolutely. I did an interview with Cassandra Peterson, Elvira, for Horror Hound Magazine, and the first night that I met with her to kind of set all this up was a Thursday night right before one of our Horror Hound weekends. And so I go in to meet her at the hotel. We're going to have dinner, kind of lay out this interview we're going to do for the magazine. And Kane Hodder happened to be eating dinner in the same – he was staying in the same hotel, so eating in the same restaurant. Well, Kane Hodder picks up his cheeseburger and comes down. He goes, mind if I join you guys? And he just sort of plops down and joins us. And he pulls out the second edition of his book, his autobiography. He's pretty excited. He goes, this new version has the pictures of the burn, because he's horribly scarred from a terrible burn accident. And this new edition had the pictures of the burn. He's kind of passed them around the dinner table, and we're looking at it. And Cassandra Peterson pipes up and she goes, yeah, Kane, I know how that feels. He looks at her and she goes, yeah, I'm a burn victim too. And of course, he kind of holds his arms up and he's like, yeah, Cassandra. Now she goes, no. And she pulls the collar. She's wearing a very loose fitting sweater. She pulls the collar down over her shoulder, and her shoulder and her entire back is third degree burned. Burn tissue.
Oh,
yeah.
I remember reading that about her. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I got this. She's telling Kane this story about when she was 2 years old, she pulled some boiling water off of a stove. Her mother was boiling eggs for Easter, and she pulled the boiling water into herself. She had third-degree burns and over like 35% of her body. They actually had to go, and I hate to be graphic here, but they had to cut her eyes back open because the skin had sort of melted closed. They had to get tissue and rebuild her neck. She was the first child recipient, because at that time, if you were burned more than 30% of your body, they just kept you comfortable because some kind of infection was going to set in and you were going to die. It was just a known thing.
Oh, wow.
But she was the first child recipient of a new medicine called penicillin that was just available for kids.
Oh, wow.
And now, so Kane was listening to the story. And, you know, Kane, we're talking Captain Macho, right? And this guy is alpha male through and through.
Oh, yeah.
He's listening to this story, and he's getting kind of glassy-eyed. And his chin starts quivering. And he looks at her, and he goes, you're like me. And just to see that much humanity, that connection, he gets up and walks over to her, starts touching her burn scars. And they connected on this thing. And, of course, Kane, he just – you know, his true humanity came through, and it was a beautiful, sad but beautiful thing to see. Of course, he tried to convince her to start going to burn units and hospitals with him, because he travels around the country visiting burn units, you know. So I don't know if they ever made that happen. But as far as Sinister Nights are bringing him down, we're going to try to get him into one of the burn units in Miami, Florida on Halloween Day. I think that might be kind of
that
we need that to work out. So, yeah.
That'd be cool.
Yeah,
we had the big hospital there, which is Jackson Memorial, so you know, that would definitely be a good option to try to hit up for sure.
Yeah, we're gonna wait till this whole COVID thing passes over, because right now I don't think anybody wants to talk about visitors to a hospital at all. You know,
no.
And especially with burn units, who are very susceptible to any kind of germ or bacteria or anything. You know, so we're gonna wait till this gets a little further down the road, and we'll start approaching about, you know, options that we have. But anyway, and Kane, Kane's all for.
Hey, Jason, can I tell you another Kane story?
I actually have a Kane story.
Okay. Bring him on.
Yeah. All right, here we go. That last convention we were on, that we were at, William, I believe that you, I had to keep bringing the guests out to come talk because they didn't have internet. So Kane was there, and all weekend I was watching him. He was like diagonally from my table, and I think he kept feeling my eyes on him, but his table was always so busy. And then finally the last day, he was packing up. He was ready to go. And I was like, can I take a picture with you? He's like, well, come on over here and sit down. And he took a bunch of photos. And then Nick was like, can I take some photos too? And he took the time. He took the little bit of time to, it was just a little bit of his time. But, you know, he wanted to leave. But he took the time and he took a bunch of photos with us. And we thought that was really cool. He wanted to leave,
awesome.
But I was staring at him the whole weekend. And I'm like, I got to talk to him. I got to talk to him. And then finally I was like, I'm doing it. And I just sat down next to him and I said, can I take some photos with you? And I thought he'd say, well, it cost you $20 a photo, but he didn't. He was like, yeah, let's do it. You know, he was like really sweet about it.
He's an awesome
and
guy.
And he took photos.
I was going to say, if he was going to say $20 a photo, I thought you were going to be like, Nick, can I borrow $80?
I'm taking a bunch.
Exactly. Hey, I do have someone on hold.
Okay.
Jason, I believe you talked to her before. Have you ever talked to my niece, Michaela?
I'm not sure.
Little young niece.
I may have.
Yeah, I think you have. She said she wants to call in, and she's been listening this whole time. Now, Jason... Tom, William, you guys experienced her. She likes to talk.
Yep.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
Me too.
But before
yes,
I bring on, Jason is, because I told her, I said, I'm not bringing you on until Jason has done everything. Is there anything else you would like to push before I bring her on?
You know, I just want to repeat that the quarantine film competition ends in about 10 days. So if you want information on that, go to sinisternights.com. Scroll down to you see the quarantine label and click on that and give you all the information. But we're looking for real do-it-yourself. Shoot it on your cell phone. Edit it with some kind of free software. It doesn't really matter. Just get it submitted, and we're going to have a lot of fun with these. And then, you know, if you're going to be in South Florida on the weekend of Halloween, yeah, come on down and check out Sinister Nights and the Sin Film Fest. That's really
now,
about it, guys.
She's in Columbia, South Carolina. She might try to make it out there. She's not far
you
from you.
There you go.
All right.
Nice little hop, skip, and a jump. So that's not too bad.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. We also got it. Wow, we got – okay. Wow, we got another caller. Hold on.
Oh, okay.
Okay, Kayla. 407, I will pick you up in just a second. Kayla.
What's up? Can y'all hear me?
What's up?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah,
what's
we
up?
Can hear you.
Yep, we hear you. Hi, Kayla.
Hey, hey.
Hi, Kayla.
Hey, I'm definitely going to that core convention, even if I have to, like, I'm taking off of work. I always take off of work for Halloween anyways. So, definitely.
Well, get on down here. Yeah, we're going to have some fun.
Yeah, go for it.
Because,
come on down. I'll save
like,
you with coffee.
Really not, yeah, there's really not a lot of, like, horror conventions down here that are, like, good horror conventions, like solid ones around here.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really cool that you're doing that.
Well, we're looking forward to it. It's about time that South Florida got some horror love. And we'd love to have you come on down.
Yeah.
And
that movie, do you think, because you're interested in going into movie and film and writing, do you think you might want to submit a film?
I mean, I just have to have time because I'm always working, but I'll definitely try and, like, whip up something and send it in.
Well, you should. You should.
Yeah.
And like I said, we're getting film submissions from people who obviously are not filmmakers, but they're having a lot of fun doing it, you know? And it's going to be viewed by several iconic people in horror. So, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and I think that's really cool because, like, there's not a lot of Jews right now, and a lot of people, at least a lot of people that I know, are like, I'm going stir crazy. There's nothing to do. And this is just give somebody a really good reason to be like, you know what? Let's just do it. Let's just have fun. Let's just go and mess around and see what we can do.
Exactly. Exactly. I love the attitude. That's exactly what we're wanting. Precisely what we're wanting.
Yeah, because it's like better.
No, I think you could do it.
I say go for it.
Yeah,
do it.
I agree.
Into like an outlet instead of like going out and getting in trouble because there's nothing to do and possibly hurting other people. Just stay home, make a film, submit it. You know, do something.
Yeah,
exactly. That's what we're hoping for. That's what we're hoping for. So submit
a
film.
I'll tell you what, Kayla. I'm gonna raise the ante with you a little bit because you and I have talked about writing projects a couple times in some of the other episodes. So I'll tell you what. I've never done anything in the way of directing or camera making or anything like that. I've always been strictly behind the scenes, more script writing or writing books. So if you make a movie, I'll make one too.
Okay.
Oh, there you go.
Oh.
It's a twofer.
Two for one. Now there's your offer.
I love it.
How's the writing going, Kayla?
Oh, it's good. It's great. I've gotten five solid chapters, and I got three rough draft chapters that I'm just like jotting down.
Well, that's cool.
Good.
Keep going.
One thing I can say is this is definitely one ambitious young girl right here. She always was.
That's awesome.
She loves music. She loves writing. She loves movies. She loves television. Oh,
well, that's good.
Ambition
is what's going to help her push through the projects. So, you know, keep going. You're on a roll. More
okay,
the merrier.
Guys, we got some more callers. Kayla, hold on tight.
All right,
okay.
Cool.
Not hanging up on
you.
Okay, I told 407 we're going to pick him up.
Hi, hello.
Hello, 407?
Hi.
Hi.
I just wanted to say I've never been in a horror film, but I have been in a couple films myself, and I really would like to be in a horror film.
Well, yeah. Where do you live?
I live in the Central Florida area.
Okay. Well, you know, there are a lot of filmmakers in the Central Florida area. In fact, if you're on Facebook, look up the Florida. I'm going to get the name of it for you right now. One second. There is a couple of Facebook groups for Florida horror
and
filmmakers.
While you're looking at that, Jason, I can also chip in a good recommendation as well, too. Although I will admit I'm biased on this one, 407. I'm a recent alumni and graduate, but also network around with members of Full Sail University because they also
absolutely
the filmmakers.
Full
Sail. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I usually meet directors online because the movies I've been in so far, it was like Sorority Sister 6 and like The Pizza Boy Returns and like movies like that, you know.
Okay.
And I had a lot of fun being in those. My favorite was Hospital Sluts 4. That was a good movie. It was a great set, great cast, like fun people to be with. And Howard Stern's penis.
Cool.
There you go.
Some good choices.
There you go. But yeah, get on Facebook. There are several groups here in Florida that are for filmmakers, and that's a great place to network and get out with reach out to filmmakers. And in fact, there are a couple of films right now that are being shot in South Florida. But Not sure exactly what's going on in Central Florida. We have had some submittals from horror filmmakers from the kind of Orlando, Tampa kind of area. So, yeah, they're out there, and I'm sure they're looking for crew and actors all the time. So get out there and do it, man. I recommend it. And I tell you, being in horror movies, there is nothing more fun than scaring people. And when you can orchestrate a really good kill on screen, it is so satisfying.
that sounds
terrible to say, but orchestrating
Definitely.
And pulling off a really good kill on screen is just very satisfying. So what's your name, man?
You know, and definitely good luck with it. So, you know, we hope to see you on the screen.
Yeah.
Okay, he hung up. I see. Oh, penis. Oh, I get it.
All righty.
Never mind. Okay, 937.
That's a good soundbite. That's a great soundbite.
Yeah, it is.
It took me a second to get it, and then when you were talking, and he said penis, and I'm like, oh.
So that's what you need to do to get into a horror movie.
Horror.
Yeah.
Horror, not horror movie.
Yeah.
Horror. Okay. Jason, you were definitely a great sport with that one. Okay, I swear I had nothing to do with that call. 937, have you been in porno?
Well, very close to it. I've been in Space Babes from Outer Space.
Oh my God,
Justin Ord. What's going on, brother?
How you doing?
This is my brother in arms, Justin Ord. Yeah.
Oh,
I'm glad
okay.
you
Goddamn.
You're welcome, man.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so, Justin was in a movie with me, Space Babes from Outer Space, not a horror movie. A space comedy, kind of like if you took the movie Spaceballs, and if the people who made like National Lampoon's Animal House were to make Spaceballs, that's kind of what
nice.
Space Babes from Outer Space is.
A lot of
80s sex humor, but very charming at the same time.
It was definitely a throwback type style film, and. It was a fun film to make and to be a part of. So,
oh, we had a blast.
But to the person that did call before me, even though it sounded kind of like a prank or whatever, you know, if someone wants to get into film, the best way to do it is to network with people. You know, find the people that you have something in common with, like horror. And a good example of that networking would be coming to Sinister Nights, you know, and, you know, that horror genre is going to be represented very well there with all the celebrity guests, you name it. And, you know, you'll get the chance at almost at any horror convention, but like Sinister Nights, you know, you will have that chance when you go to that vendor's table to talk with them and talk with the actors and the celebrities, and they'll answer questions like that themselves too. They'll be like, well, this is how I started, you know, and they'll give you an example. And, you know, that's a good, you know, way to start yourself is, you know, find out what the celebrities did to get to where they're at and follow that same path, you know.
There you go, buddy.
Anywhere that Jason Hignite goes, you know, he turns to gold. You know, he's a King Midas in the positive way. And,
thanks,
you know, as soon as I heard he was going to be on here, I've never called in before. And, you know, I think I've heard the show probably once or twice in the past, but, you know, I'm not a regular. But, you know, if he's going to be on it, I need to talk him up. This man here was the one person, you know, as a horror fan, as a person that's a fan of film myself, I didn't know how to get my foot in the door. You know, I knew what I wanted to do and how I wanted to do it, but I didn't know anybody until I met Jason, and he was like, hey, there's this film going on. Why don't you come down? You can stay at my house. And that's a really good way to network with people. You know, you network with them, you grow close to them, and they become family. Friends mm-hmm. become family. And the horror genre brings all of us together. And Jason was my key person to make me you know, fill that void of not having that tribe, that family. Jason's the one that built that. So wherever
he
goes,
you cry.
You know,
quit it.
It's awesome. Okay, I'm done.
People are gonna think I put you up to this, Justin.
But you didn't. Okay, and I swear, everybody, I swear to you guys, he didn't pay me anything yet. And I mean anything. And no, he's not gonna.
Yeah,
he's not gonna pay me a thing. I will never. I am the type of person to never accept anything like that. I speak from the heart, and if you truly know me, you know what I said is 100% truth. And you guys have a great show, especially having a guest like Jason Hickman. I applaud you guys. That's awesome. But, all right. Well, you guys have a great one, and I'll just back out from here. And, you know, I can't wait to see you at Sinister Nights on, you know, Halloween weekend. That's going
to
be amazing.
I'm looking so forward to seeing you, Justin, man. Yeah, get your butt down here, brother. Got to see you, man.
I will.
Justin's been my right-hand guy. With the Horror Hound all the years. Well, a lot of the years I was with Horror Hound. Justin was my right-hand guy. So, man, it's good to hear you, man. I'm really glad you called in, brother. Thanks, man.
Hey, God bless, guys.
Totally. Thank you, Justin.
Yeah, thanks.
Man, that was – I almost cried. That was touching.
Yeah.
Hello.
Weird, but you see that –
Thanks, well.
You know, indeed. Yeah, you know, but they see that. But that's good though. So take a deep breath. Count to five. Don't say ten because you know we still have some time on the show.
I think I'm gonna make it. Yeah.
All right.
Anyway,
you got this.
Yeah.
Well, you know, but Justin's a great example of, you know, these horror conventions are important to people for a lot of different reasons. It's more than just meeting, you know, celebrities that you wanted to meet or people that you've idolized in certain films or going to a vendor hall to pick up some cool T-shirt. You know, you get to horror conventions is one of those places where you don't feel like such a weirdo because you're surrounded by other weirdos, people who are into horror and into the stuff that you're into. And you go to these things year after year, and it becomes like a family reunion. These people become your tribe, your family. And I know we're kind of using that in a joking standpoint, but these things become very important to people who don't quite totally fit into like normal everyday society, quote unquote. But you get to a horror convention and you're with your people. And so that's,
oh yeah, that's,
again, that's part of what we're trying to do down here for South Florida is build that tribe, man. So
embrace the weirdness.
Embrace, yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Man, I'm so glad that Justin called in. That's awesome. Hey, where did Francie go? Is she blowing her nose? What's she doing?
I'm right here.
Hey, Jason. Hey, Jason, I was going to tell you this other Kane story was we were standing talking to him and Tiffany Shepis at Nightmares another time, and we were talking in, you know, about counting movies and things. I go, well, us guys that play the villains, the bad guys, and the heavies and the monsters, we're the good guys. We love our fans. We're good. We're the good guys. We in real life, we're the good, decent, fun loving people and everything, and we enjoy people. He goes, it's the comedians that are the assholes. And Tiffany Shepard spoke up and goes, that is so true. That is so true. I dated a comedian for a year and a half. He's the biggest asshole I ever met. It was so
funny. Joe Brumting.
Well, it's so true. It's so true. It's, you know, I talked to, I think it was Bill Moseley I was talking to one time, and he, you know, Bill Moseley is one of those guys like Robert Englund. There are a few of these guys that are, they're very well educated. And we're talking about these guys graduated from places like Yale and Princeton. I mean, they're very well-educated, very highly educated people. And they're very intelligent people. But again, they play these horrible, terrible things on camera. But Bill Moses said, man, it's so fun to be something that you're not, to be something that is completely antithetical to everything you are in your normal life. And you just get to shed all of the intellectualism and the social politeness and the whatever, and just be this terrible, awful thing while you're working on this film. And I could appreciate that. I'm quite sure, you know, but you look at people like Robert Englund.
You know what's funny?
What's that?
Mr. Bean, Rowan Atkinson said the same thing. They did an interview with him, and they said, we spent time with you, and you are so different off camera. And he's like, exactly, I get to be somebody I'm not. And he said, I get to be rude, I get to be obnoxious, and thank goodness for my children that I don't really act that way.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so even with comedy and horror, it makes sense.
Yeah, it's all.
Plus, I think they're more appreciative of their fans, too. I think the horror guys, they just, you know, because at one convention I see Dee Wallace every year, I see Fane Hodder almost every year, the same one. And it just seems like they have a deeper love, appreciation, connection with their fans.
Horror is a unique genre because other than horror and sci-fi, name another genre of film that has conventions. You don't see rom-com conventions, you know?
No.
You don't see drama conventions or comedy movie conventions. I mean, they may have had them, and I've been told
Twilight
that.
Twilight convention, thank goodness.
Well, you know, I was told that they weren't trying to have a Western convention, and I would have loved to go. I'd love to go to a Western convention, Western movie convention, but horror and sci-fi touches people in a way that no other genre does, and it really plays into your very primal stuff. You know, so when you connect with something in horror, it's a deep connection. You know, and when you get to meet these people, and any horror actor that's worth his or her salt knows the only reason that they are anything is because of their fans. The only reason they are anything at all is because of their fans.
Yeah.
So, and most of them do appreciate.
I've heard them say that too. I've heard them say that.
Yeah, and I'll admit this much. I know for myself, I was very fortunate to meet Riku Browning twice at
Riku,
some of the conventions. Ironically enough, the second time I actually, I was kind of killing two birds with one stone. I convinced one of the local papers to actually cover the ticket prices, and I would write the article about the convention for them. Truth be told, I couldn't afford the tickets. So I was like, hey, listen, I'm an author. You want some coverage? So,
sometimes that'll work.
Yeah, I was surprised.
Sometimes that works. But you go to these horror conventions, and especially, and I was very blessed to get a chance to start to work with these horror conventions, and you get to have these stories when you get to meet these celebrities, and then you get to meet them kind of behind the curtain a little bit, you know. I think one of my favorites is 2010. We did a 48-hour horror-hosted online movie extravaganza. We hosted movies for 48 straight hours. Each movie was hosted by a different horror host. Now, at that particular show, we had Elvira at the show, and we had George Romero. So right in the middle of this 48 hours, we were going to screen Night of the Living Dead and have George Romero and Elvira co-host the film. But when it gets to the night of the thing, and we didn't have this all really – didn't have it exactly worked out. But so that night, I approach Cassandra. She's getting ready to leave her table and say, hey, listen, Cassandra, she's in her Elvira garb. I'm like, hey, would you mind jumping back here? We're doing this 48-hour thing. I want you to host Night of the Living Dead. She's like, I really want to get in my costume. I'm like, yeah, but we want you to host it with George Romero. And she goes, George is here? I'm like, yeah. She's like, I've never actually met George Romero. I'm like, what? Well, go back to this room, and we'll bring George back there. So then I go, and I talk to George. I'm like, George, would you mind hosting Night of the Living Dead? He goes, I'm like, well, you're going to host it with Elvira. And he goes, Elvira? Elvira's here? I'm like, yeah. I've never actually met Elvira. So we take him back to the room, and here I am. I'm just Jason Hignite. Who the hell am I? I'm standing next to George Romero and Elvira, and I get to say, Mr. Romero, meet Elvira. Elvira, George Romero. And I stood back and watched. Wow. That's just
sweet.
It's amazing. Yeah.
I think they're fans of each other's work too, so that's cool too.
Oh, of course.
And I gotta thank you, Jason, because you got us Cassandra on the show. You were like, Cassandra will be on the show, and I'm like, you're fucking kidding me. What? He's like, yeah, Elvira will be on the show. And here's what's funny. I mean, the 80s, yeah, she was great. 90, I mean,
she was a great guest. And
yeah.
She even said halfway during the show, she said, "Oh, the schnapps is kicking in." Which means that she was drinking while she was doing the show. But what was funny is that I was at work and I was telling all the young guys at work, I'm like, "Hey, I'm going to have Elvira on the show," because they don't know her as Cassandra Peterson. They know her as Elvira.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, "I'm going to have Elvira on the show." And all the younger guys were like, who I wouldn't even think that they even knew who she was, because they were like 20 years younger than me. And they were like, "Oh, can I be the boom mic guy? I can stand on the coffee table and hold the microphone." I'm like, "Oh, you do know who she is." They're like, "Can I be your boom mic guy?" And I'm like, "She's not coming to my apartment." Aww. I mean, every guy that's 20 years younger than me knew exactly who she was. And she was so modest during the show. She was like, "I don't understand why people are so attracted to me." And it's like, because you were a woman who spoke up. You said things that all of us women wanted to say.
Mm-hmm.
And
not
you had
to mention,
big
boobs. You love horror movies.
Yeah, and, you know, she said she wasn't afraid to speak her mind, and that's what a lot of people liked about her. And they
absolutely
still like about her. I mean, if you go to one of her YouTube channels, she's got millions of views.
Mm-hmm.
She's a legend.
Well, she's, she's a very shrewd businesswoman, too. You know, she owns the rights to Elvira. You know, and she was hired to play that character by a TV station in Los Angeles, you know, so that was not originally her character, but she fought for years to get the rights to that and then be able to monetize that for her. So she's also a very shrewd businesswoman.
Which is
nice.
Great though. I mean, God, you know, God bless her.
Smart, funny, talented.
Yeah.
You know.
And that's why she's so successful even today.
And on
you
top
know,
of it all,
built-
she looks like that, which, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, we could just say that. Wow. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I showed the younger guys, too. I was like, "Well, here's some recent photos of her." And they were like, "Wow."
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And
that's
she's still
all they
gorgeous as ever.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Michaela, you're quiet.
Yeah, speak up.
Oh, hi. I'm at work, so I was.
Hey, you're in the younger generation. You know who Elvira is, don't you?
Oh, heck yes.
See, just keeps going on generation to generation, being passed down.
But she's iconic.
Pass the torch.
You guys,
like,
we are on the after party now.
Okay, we're an after party?
Yeah, we're
cool.
An after party now.
So, yeah. Okay.
So does that mean I can take my pants off?
Yep.
Yeah, you can take your pants off.
It's party at the Hate Night House.
Like,
go for it.
And Elvira and Morticia Adams really kind of changed the way, like, women were presented on TV. In the media, because like back then it was just like very like meek and mild, you know, like just typical housewife who, you know, did everything that she was supposed to, catered to your husband. And when they come out, like, they were like wearing like the sexy clothes, they spoke their minds, they weren't afraid to like really kind of push the box and like open up the view for like women to like possibly do something else than just be like your typical like cookie cutter housewife.
No, absolutely, you're exactly right. And you know, to add to that list, because you're exactly right, Morticia Adams, Elvira, but I got to give it up to the predecessor of even that is Vampyra. And in fact, Elvira would not even exist if it wasn't for Vampyra, because the whole TV show thing that Elvira got hired for is they were trying to find the next Vampyra. So Vampire blazed the trail for all of that, and so gotta throw out some credit to, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
never
realized. Yeah, that's one of the other reasons why she's so immortalized within the genre. Look at the comic book Vampirella. And you can kind of see the similar wardrobe and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, I tell you what,
are you at work?
I think we're hearing all of her work.
Now.
It's very loud.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's at work.
Well,
I put her on mute. She says she's on her way home,
so maybe
we can get her off mute for a little while. Yeah, I heard the nice shot. She always calls me at work because they're on quarantine in South Carolina. So she's like, I'm so bored.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She works at
a restaurant. Well, I'll tell you what. Speaking of work, it is midnight here where I am now, and I've got to be up in six hours for work, for day job stuff. I am going to go ahead and go to bed. But, Francie, it has been wonderful talking to you again, my dear. And please have me back on again.
It has been my honor. Like I said, I always stalk you. I've been waiting for – and then Nick finally said a couple of weeks ago, he goes, you need to get Jason on the show ASAP. He's doing great things. And I'm like, I know, but I don't know if he's talking to me.
Hey, Nick,
do you want to say goodbye to Jason before he goes?
Yeah, I want to say hi and goodbye. I've been listening.
There we go.
You're doing awesome stuff, Jason. Awesome stuff.
Well, thanks. Listen, I really appreciate that.
Yeah, I had to kick Francie's ass for a little bit, saying, Jason Ignite, you had him on your show before. Check out all the stuff that he's been doing. I've been checking you out a lot, too.
I have, too, but I was just always afraid. I wasn't sure if he was talking to me tonight.
We're afraid. And we're all doing amazing things in horror because it deserves to have people doing amazing things in it. And, you know, we're having a lot of fun. And I tell you, I got to give a shout-out to all the stuff I do is largely with independent film. I could wax poetically about how I feel about Hollywood-produced horror in the last, like, 20 years. I think a lot of the brilliant stuff has been coming from independent film. And really, most of it has been independent film. I mean, John Carpenter's Halloween was an independent film. Toby Hooper's Texas Chainsaw Massacre, that was an independent film. Friday the 13th was an independent film. These were all indie films. A lot of the great horror came from independent filmmaking. And still today,
instead of studios butting in and telling you to change this, we want it this way.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no. We're independents. We don't do that.
Yeah, exactly. So I love independent film. So anyone who is still listening or maybe catching this a little later, if there are horror film fests, actually, if they're just film fests, anything that's highlighting independently produced film, get out there and check it out. You're going to be blown away by the amazing talent that some of these young filmmakers have, very fresh. And who knows, you might catch the next up-and-coming Steven Spielberg or the next up-and-coming, you know, John Carpenter or Wes Craven or whatever. You might catch some of that early stuff from someone who goes on to be something amazing. So get out there and catch your film festivals and keep your eye in magazines like Rue Morgue and Fangoria and Horror Hound because they're always talking about this independently produced horror, and it deserves your eyes because it's amazing stuff.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
And not to mention, stay persistent, stay passionate, you know, and that'll help keep the fires lit.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Well, you guys take care. I need to jump off.
Me too.
But y'all stay in touch, and thank you so much,
right,
Francie, for having me back on.
Well, thanks,
Jason.
Thank
you, Jason, for coming on.
Yeah.
And tell your wife and your daughter,
thanks.
I said, hey.
Will do. All right.
All
you guys
right.
Take care. Bye-bye.
You too.
Good night, everybody.
Hold on. Let's see what Kayla's doing.
Hey.
Is it still noisy?
I don't know. You guys tell me because I'm kind of used to the hustling.
Oh, okay.
Well, it's a little quiet
well,
now.
We're going to end the show.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to do a little bit of Hesitation Blues again. This was a great show. Thank you, Jason Hignight. Thank you, Tom Sawyer. Thank you, William Brower.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Michaela Weatherman. And don't forget, next week, Mark Bishop, Comedic Arts, a.k.a.
Cool.
Minty Comedic Arts. It's going to be a great show, too.
Not to be confused with Mentos Candies.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. We are about to, she's about to cut us off, so let's do the Hesitation Blues. And don't forget to leave out the Cheetos and the milk for Willie Nelson tonight.
Good night.
Good night.
Up this morning, looking for my shoes. Look behind the trunk, found the Hesitation Blues. Lordy, tell me how long.
Lordy, tell me how long.
Will I have to wait?
Will I have to wait?
Can I get you now?
Can I get you now?
Must I hesitate? Blues overtake me, rock away from here. Lordy, tell me how long.
Lordy, tell me how long.
Will I have to wait?
Will I have to wait?
Can I get you now?
Can I get you now?
Must I hesitate?
Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.